Now, over the Christmas period, anybody seen any news, anything else, everybody, the whole country was aware of the occupation of Apollo House by the Home Sweet Home organisation. Got huge headlines, huge news, everything else, and it obviously has continued on now into the new year and everything else. And joining us now to talk all about the Christmas period and the Apollo House situation and what the future holds for the Home Sweet Home organisation is Tommy Gavin. How you doing, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad at all, Tommy. Thanks for joining us on Near FM this morning. Tommy, before we look forward, we'll just look back to that Christmas period and the occupation of Apollo House. It was hugely unprecedented. It was an incredibly audacious thing to do. But it not only, you know, grabbed the attention of the public and garnered huge public support, but it also caught the authorities on the hop. Was that always the intention?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was no coincidence that that the occupation was of an AMA building, and we were quite clear in trying to not make it just about Christmas either. It wasn't about no homeless over Christmas. It was about no homeless, full stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the message from day one. You were very keen to get out there to people, is that, you know, as you say, this isn't just a Christmas stunt. This isn't just as some kind of sections of the, not maybe the media, but some sections of the community probably try to say, this is just a gang of lovies and pop stars and whatever trying to get in. Does everybody's making a name for themselves out of this? It wasn't about that at all. It was laying down a marker. It was laying down a foundation that, listen, we have a problem. We have a solution. All we need to do is join the dots here, people.
No, of course. And, I mean, fair play to the artists as well for getting involved and for staying involved. I mean, I'm a member of the Irish Housing Network, which has been around for about nearly 3 years now. And so the Irish Housing Network is kind of involved in a number of campaigns, not just around homelessness, but also around public housing standards there and the need for more land sell-offs. You know, the rights for renters for whom, you know, life is very scary at the moment. Direct Vision, and then a lot of other local campaigns across the inner city and expanding across the country as new groups join. It was never intended to be a flash in the pan either.
Yeah, which of course then, as you say, leads you then into the new year, you know, and there was court cases and there was judicial stuff and everything else, and, you know, we'd be moving the people out of Apollo House and stuff like that. But what you were able to do, thanks to the support of the public over that period, was you were able to, it gave you the funds to be able to house an awful lot of the people who availed of the Apollo House facility, and you've set an awful lot of them up now for the foreseeable future where they're not on the streets. So that long-term effect has kicked in already.
Yeah, and that's actually been through advocating on their behalf with the homeless services. So, I mean, there was the cap of no more than 40 residents at any one time in Apollo House, which was a part of the court order. And so, all in all, 90 people went through Apollo House as residents and got into long-term accommodation, mostly through the Peterman Ferry Trust, but also other homeless services as well. I mean, in comparison there, like Focus Ireland and the McVeary Trust put 70 people into permanent accommodation in the whole of 2016. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see just how big an impact there was there. But also, I mean, like there was 115 people, I think, who presented at the gates of Apollo House looking for somewhere to sleep.
Yeah.
And so because of the court order, they weren't able to be set up in the Apollo House, but they were advocated for on the City Council free phone to try to get them into beds in other hostels. And the support team that was working out of Apollo House, which was mostly key workers, psychiatric nurses, social care professionals, they haven't stopped. They're continuing that work, and they're still in touch with all of the former residents to make sure that they're still getting a fair shake, but also for other rough sleepers now they're working with to advocate on their behalf.
Absolutely, it's one of the probably sad things about the society and the way it is now today is that, you know, there's always somebody is looking to pick a hole in things, and I'm sure there were plenty of detractors, and as I said, not only saying, yeah, they're just out there trying to make a name for themselves, these people, and as you say, lots of money flowed in quickly, lots of donations, mm-hmm. lots of everything else. When something like that gathers momentum, it can kind of take off and run away. It was probably, did it exceed your expectations how quickly it took off and snowballed?
Oh, I mean, it exceeded everyone's expectations on every level. I mean, the questions about the money is entirely fair, I think. I mean, you know, it's you have to remember as well, this was like, we were only kind of 2 months 2 months ago, there was no Pump Sweet Home campaign, so to speak. And so, I mean, like, the work that was done there, it was entirely thanks to not just the volunteers, but the support and donations from the public. And so, I mean, like, it's been entirely, and is still entirely, volunteer run. So, I mean, like, it's thankfully we were able to get the accounts out there last week. But again, that was through the volunteer work of bookkeepers and accountants to be able to kind of go through the receipts and the records and make sure everything was up to scratch. But
Yeah, well, as you say, you do have to keep everything up to scratch, because very quickly, especially when there's, are people perceived, there's very large amounts of money being moved around, and if anybody wants to pick holes in anything now, that's an easy place to attack. So it's probably usually important, as you say, for the organisation to be on top of that from the start.
We're very conscious of that as well, because there's a sense of responsibility as well, mm-hmm. to the campaign, not just for the people affected, but also for the people who have lent their support. And and again, I think it speaks to shows just how angry people are about the housing crisis and the homeless crisis. I think as well, it speaks volumes that we're having this discussion about bookkeeping, about what was it in effect, like an illegal occupation of an hour building.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that there's calls for optimism there about, well, it depends if, you know, you're the, yeah, which side you're on, maybe, but yeah. But we it's something we're very conscious of in trying to show that the money's being used very responsibly, and, you know, if anything, we try to err on the side of caution every single time.
Yes, absolutely. As we said at the start, in terms of the shock and awe, for want of a better word or description of the campaign that you launched at Apollo House over Christmas, and how it did catch the government, catch all the authorities kind of napping, how has that changed now, or has the narrative changed now? Is there increased engagement with government and government departments to finally say, look at guys, you know, we've a situation here, we were able to do this and solve this for this time. It's not a cure, we know it's not going to solve all the problems, but the simple step of just going into one building, one unoccupied building, got several people off the streets at the coldest, most bleakest time of the year. This isn't rocket science, guys. And are you getting that kind of back now from government, or is it still just a brick wall you're hitting?
To be honest, it's still the brick wall. I think now that there's a sense that that we're not in a Apollo House anymore. But I think that's a big mistake, because it assumes that it was just about a Apollo House. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's you know, I've been in touch with a lot of the former people who were volunteering there. A lot of whom are still involved in the campaign, and, you know, talking to them about, you know, their reflections and how they feel about everything. And, you know, there's something I'm getting a lot is that, you know, on one side, they feel very optimistic about the future, and, you know, they feel a sense of pride of people coming together, and the possibility that can happen has been very inspiring for them. But on the other side, you know, the homeless numbers are still going up.
Yeah.
The number of sleepers are still going up. I think we crossed... Before Christmas, I think November was the official rough sleeper count, or the official homeless count rather, was 6,985, and then December January now, last January it was 7,150, so it's still going up. And that's not counting the hidden homeless as well. That's just people who are presenting as homeless. So that's not counting the people who are sleeping on couches or in cars. The problem isn't getting better.
That's what is plain there to see. As you say, you're still hitting the brick wall, and is that kind of, I know it's frustrating, but that kind of probably leads people to think, you know, that the Apollo housing was a flash in the pan, and this is why you're very eager for people to understand it wasn't a flash in the pan. It's an ongoing campaign now. You have your conference coming up. I know it was planned for February. It's been pushed back to March now, I think. So it's important for your organisation, for people to understand that this hasn't gone away just because it's not on the news every night. It's still there. The problem still exists, and the solutions are still required, and keeping that message out there is hugely important.
Oh no, Apollo House was just day one. I mean, it was about taking a stand and saying that enough is enough. You know, it was never going to be enough to change things overnight. It was more about showing people that things can and should change, and that's, you know, that's why there was such public support. I think that people immediately latched onto that message because they believe it. I mean, like, I you know, people, nobody. I don't think anyone. I think it's a deep moral thing that's maybe innately human. Even that's like, there shouldn't be homeless people. I think that resonates very strongly. I don't think that's just an Irish thing. I think that's a human thing. And you know, at the suggestion that it doesn't have to be this way, you know, the outpouring, I suppose, is immediate. And that's, you know, we're in this for the long haul, and it's something we have no intention of dropping. And I think that the support is going to continue to increase as long as we continue to to show that, you know, we mean business, and that, you know, we mean what we say. But I mean, yeah, the problem's not going to go away. So
yeah, and in terms of, you know, obviously the. It was uniquely Dublin-based campaign over Christmas, and that is the plan for expansion out around the country and for Home Sweet Home to go into every, because it's not a uniquely Dublin problem, obviously, homelessness. So is the plans there to expand countrywide and into the other cities and areas where homelessness is obviously a problem around the country?
Personally speaking, I think that would be a fantastic development. I think that would probably be something that would. That will come out of the conference later in March, but we're still kind of working on that and planning that to make sure kind of it's handled properly. But I mean, I think you're right, that would be a logical development, and it's something that the Irish Housing Network itself is conscious of, you know, trying to not just be not just, you know, Dublin based. But also not just like city based. I mean, like the number of mortgage evictions across the country is quite staggering, and the levels of mortgage debt. I mean, and the thing is as well that's like all of the different dimensions of the housing crisis are related. So, you know, between the renting crisis is a big driver of homelessness now, as is people coming out of, or rather falling out of, direct provision. Is one of it's a large reason for new people becoming homeless now. And so, I mean, like, it's they're all connected. The all of the housing issues are in one way or another connected. And you can't just it's not just happening in Dublin at all by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Well, you have now in March now coming up your conference that, as you say, is still in the process of putting together. I suppose that's the next big step now, as you say, is putting on the conference that sets out where you're at, where you're going, and what the future holds for Home Sweet Home.
Yes, and also we're opening up a kind of, the way we're thinking about it, is a mini Apollo, but there won't be any residents, but it would be for linking in people with services, whether that's GPs or homeless services, and also to advocate on people's behalf with homeless services, but also as an outreach and kind of acted in the centre to keep really pushing the issue. And so that's something we hope to formally announce at the conference. But we're trying to keep the team structures from Apollo House, including, you know, the support team, which would help people who are in situations of homelessness. The outreach team, which would try to bring people in and drop links with other groups, say, and the few other groups. But to try to keep that structure so that we can really hit the ground running come the conference and come the building.
Excellent stuff. Well, listen, Tommy, thanks indeed for talking to us today and bringing us right up to date on what's happening with the Home Sweet Home organisation. If anybody's interested in keeping in touch, keeping online, keeping in touch when the conference is, they can go to the website, yeah?
Yeah, the Facebook page is the main way we've been interacting with people. We have a great few people who try to respond to all of the comments even and the messages as well, and the Irish Housing Network website as well. We put information up there as well. But I think the Facebook, like, that's where the main announcements will be anyway.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Listen, Tommy, as I say, thanks very much for talking to us today and bringing us up to date. Continued success with the work you guys are doing. I won't speak on behalf of everyone, but you know, the work you did over Christmas and the work you continue to do was badly needed and brilliantly done, and fair play to everyone involved, and we look forward to watching your progress go from strength to strength over the next few months. Tommy, so thanks very much for talking to us today.
Of course, happy to be it.
Cheers, Tommy, take care, all the best, bye bye.
Thank you very much, talk to you.
Bye bye. There you go, folks. That's Tommy Gavin from the Home Sweet Home campaign, telling us all about where the organisation is at this stage, and the conference coming up in March, so keep an eye on their Facebook page for details of that, and you'll be able to find out, keep up to date on everything they're doing with the campaign. Hugely simplistic but difficult and brave, and everything that they did, and hopefully they will expedite and quickly bring us to a day where organisations like Home Sweet Home are no longer required. Hopefully they'll move that whole argument and that whole conversation along faster and quicker, and we can eradicate homelessness, certainly on the levels that we're seeing it in the last couple of years.